Good evening, this is Rabbi Mayevsky. Tomorrow night, of course, we begin Rosh Hashanah. Tonight's shiur is dedicated Leinu Nishmas Chaya Bashmar Yohu HaKohen. May the neshama have an aliyah. Very auspicious time to have a yard site, which is very difficult for the family, obviously, that has it. Hopefully, time passes and we think about it, that we were able to live a full year, live out the whole year, which is a bracha in itself, to be able to say that he lived until Erev Rosh Hashanah in itself, which is a bracha, because God gave you the ability to live out the entire year, which is what we do, generally speaking. We always hope that at some point in time, which is why when we make a siyum on a Gemara or we finish a Gemara on ourselves, we always are told to begin the next Masechta immediately, start with the first Mishnah of the next Masechta you're learning, which is very important, so that you could always say, please let me finish this Masechta already. I began a new Masechta. Let me finish, please. And we don't know how these things work, but generally speaking, when somebody starts a mitzvah, sometimes God will say, okay, I'll let you finish. And that is part of the thing. I just wanted to mention that. The next 2 days, of course, we have Rosh Hashanah. And of course, we have such a long davening. But when we think about it, way back at the beginning of time, not at the beginning of time, but at the beginning when Rosh Hashanah was first celebrated, B'nai Yisrael gets into the Eretz Yisrael, they move into Canaan, and whatever the situation was, but even after Chalukas Haaretz, which was 14 years later, but at that point in time when they start celebrating Rosh Hashanah, there's no system of tefillah, all the tefillah that we have today with chakras and musaf and the long, long davening that we spend in shul till 2 or 3 o'clock, some places longer with a break. And of course, the only thing that the Torah mandated from us at this point in time, B'nai Yisrael was spread out over an entire country. The only thing that we were able to do was blow shofar. And blowing shofar in itself is something very interesting, because we know in terms of what the Torah tells us, we blow shofar when there's a time of trouble. We know we blow shofar when it doesn't rain after a long period of time. We want to, it's like a call to arms. We want to raise everybody's consciousness. But if we think about it in today's day and age, blowing shofar is, while it's supposed to be ma'ara to tshuva, does that really happen nowadays? Do we really think of it in terms of being ma'ara to tshuva today? Do the kids gather around and it's an exciting event? They hear the shofar, the people like to hear the shofar. It's an event in a way, but I don't know what it does in terms of really shaking person up. In my shul last Shabbos night, when we had the slichas, we have it with our chazan brings a choir with him just for the slichas. It becomes a major event, and it's a very moving thing, and that is something that is more to tshuva. But certainly the slichas that we say and the davening that we say didn't exist years ago. And so the reality is, it's the davening that when we get involved in the chakras and in the musaf, and actually the shofros in the middle of Shmon Esrei, in those 3 points in the middle of Shmon Esrei, that is what really, perhaps when we're so deep in concentration and saying all the words and thinking what they mean, that really is what wakes us up, perhaps, and gives us a thought process to give us a time till the chazan gets to it, and we think about what we've just said. And we have a different level of concentration. Certainly, we're trying to be put our best foot forward so that God grants us a year of parnasa and health, and for all our family and for Klal Yisrael, especially this year, what we've been going through. We hope that it doesn't get any worse. But of course, as I wrote to somebody this morning after they were showing, my sister-in-law sent me pictures of the sky over her Mitzpen Tofah, over her community, where the rockets were being shot down and by the Iron Dome, and it was an unbelievable sight. She filmed it, and it's like a lightwork show. It's like watching fireworks in Coney Island or wherever you're seeing it in Manhattan, all those shows. It's just... It's unbelievable. It looks nice if you don't think that they're rockets, but this is what it is. If they fell to the ground, God only knows what it is. And my reaction was very simple. Hinei lo yonum v'lo yishon shomer Yisrael. It's amazing what we can accomplish and what God has accomplished for us, given us the intelligence to be able to come up with all these things. But the point is, so if this is what Rosh Hashanah was, so what are we supposed to do today? We blow the shofar, but we daven. But the point is something very interesting. There were certain prayers that we said. Perhaps the Jews initially, they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu for the 40 years in the Midbar. They realized that the certain prayers that Moshe taught them was to say, perhaps the Shlosh Esrei Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Ke Erech Apayim, and so on and so forth. Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvorecha, and those are words. But what we have to realize is a very interesting thing that happens with that pasuk, which I always thought about, and what some of the Mefarshim get into. When Moshe, this story took place by the Meraglim, when Moshe interceded on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and he asked God to forgive them, and Moshe asked them, please, I understand that you have to punish these people up to a certain point, but please don't destroy the whole nation, and so on and so forth. And he tells them what he says, all these psukim that we have. But the answer of Vayomer Hashem Solachti Kidvarecha is another connotation. And God is saying, you could have asked for more. It's like what the rabbis criticized Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai at the time of Churban, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could have asked for more. He should have asked for more. But sometimes we're afraid and we're standing before God and we're clearing our conscience and hoping that God, we knows what we're thinking and that we hope to do better this year and do tshuva over these 2 days and over the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which this Shabbos we have 3 straight days. And we have Shabbos Shuva that we sort of can mend our ways to a certain point. Of course, we can't do everything. As I mentioned so many times, Rav Moshe Feinstein said, all you really should be able to do is pick one or two things to rectify, to do better each year. And in that way, during the course of your life, it will improve immeasurably over the course of your life. But what I'm getting at is it follows with the on Shabbos we lay in Parshas Hazinu. And what we've seen in the last few weeks, a good deal of Sefer Devarim, except for some parts in the middle, that Moshe is giving them a lot of halachas in Kisetse and in Shoftim, in parts of Re'eh, all these other mitzvahs. But basically, Moshe is lacing it into Klal Yisrael with all the warnings that what the future holds for them if they don't do. And when we get to Hazinu, it's very interesting. When we finish Vayelech and it said, Esdivrei HaTorah Hazos Ad Tumam, Moshe was of the opinion that the Torah was now over. But then Moshe, being ready, now God told him it was time for him to go. And he lapsed into a song, which is doesn't seemingly to be a song, but it's the prose is so beautiful. But the fact is, if we just read it, it is so deep and so much so meaningful that by reading the words, we don't really understand the import of what Moshe is trying to impress us. But if that is the case, then why does it say V'lamdo es Yisrael Sima b'fihem? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to learn it? Just to learn these words doesn't tell us everything. The first 8 psukim of the parsha are an introduction until he gets down to talking tachlis, so to speak. He's talking, who is Moshe Rabbeinu then? If he's not talking to Klal Yisrael itself, he was saying this sort of to himself or to a few individuals. And therefore, who was he in actuality talking to? He was talking to the Zekanim. He was talking to the Gedolim amongst Klal Yisrael, who would understand the symbolism of what he's saying. And what it says, V'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem, he is telling the Zekanim, the rabbis, how to speak to the congregation. They had no system of tefillah. And even many people who daven all the slichas and we daven all the things, and if they don't really understand much of the Shmone Esrei and what we're thinking, what are we really looking forward to change a person? That is, when a Gadol gets up to speak, when you hear a Shabbos Shuvah drasha from the Gadol of your, either from your shul or you go to listen to a big rabbi give you Shabbos Shuvah drasha, he is supposed to say things to you, to teach you. And that is what Moshe Rabbeinu was starting off to say. Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabera v'sishma ha'oritzim refi. What does that actually mean, that pasuk? Well, it has such a much deeper meaning. And this, the interesting part is there's so much written about it, because what we see when Yeshaya talks about it, he says it in a whole different way. He calls on the earth first and the Shemayim second. Here is Moshe Rabbeinu using the heavens first, because since this is the last few hours of his life, his head is literally in the heavens, where he's very close to spiritually. And the fact is, though, his feet are still on the ground and he's talking to the people on the ground, but he's in a very lofty state at this moment. But he says, Hazinu Hashomayim Adabera. Why would he call on the heavens and the earth to bear witness? And what is the symbolism? And the answer is a very important one. God is calling on the heavens. In other words, God is calling on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hazinu HaShemayim. Please, God, listen to my supplication on behalf of the Bnei Yisrael. V'sishma ha'oretz imrefi. And let the Shefa Bracha from the Shemayim, let it trickle down to the earth, let it trickle down to the Bnei Yisrael, so that they hear the words, they understand the words, and that the rabbis who speak, Kisirim alei desha v'chir vivim alei yesev, kamator lechi, all these things, when we get up and we speak, Moshe is telling the rabbis, he's telling the Zekanim, when they speak and try to draw Bnei Yisrael into doing tshuva after he's witnessed how they've been living their lives, he's not telling them to give them a speech of fire and brimstone. He's saying you have to do it softly, like the dew, kamotar lichi, as the dew falls to the ground so softly, to speak to the people nicely. Once you start to scream at the people, you lose the audience. Once you yell and raise your voice and start telling the people all the things, and Moshe has learned this, we see that he lost his temper a couple of times, and that was part of the reason that he hit the rock. And he realizes he lost the crowd, so to speak. And so he's warning everybody in the future to speak more softly to the people. Yaroch kamotor lechi tizal katal imrosi. You'll let your words fall to the earth like dew. Let it fall upon the people. Let it enter their hearts. Let it be that the way it you speak to them, maybe it will somehow change their mind. They are an am kashei oref, and maybe this is the only way they will eventually pay heed. And this is what Rosh Hashanah was like. But now this is what we're left today. If when we daven, not everybody has the ability to understand or the time to read during davening. But if we sit down with a machzor, you have some of them, certainly with the perush, not just the perush hamilos, but the meaning, hopefully the author's the message that he was trying to do. I remember all the times that my father would seemingly me staring at the words and saying it, and my father would say to me, just say the words. Imagine how hard the author worked on composing this tefillah. Please say it. Do him a favor. It was his way of getting me to say it. He didn't yell. He didn't shout. And he just tried to explain the tefillos to me. And all the piyutim that he explained, when I, even to this day, When I read certain piyutim that I remember exactly what he said to me in explaining it on Rosh Hashanah and the Yom Kippur, they have so much more meaning. And it's very important that we study it ourselves so that we could pass it on to the next generation. And that's why the pasuk says, She'al avicha v'yageidcha zekeinecha v'yomru lach. It doesn't say Yomer is a Lashon Raka, as opposed to it doesn't say She'al avicha v'yageidcha zekeinecha v'yomru lach. It doesn't say v'yedabru lach. It tells you in a soft way, sit down quietly with your children, with your grandchildren, and explain to them in a soft manner, sometimes to the wives as well. Sometimes the wives are more intelligent than the husbands, I know. But the fact is, we want that to penetrate the heart. And that's what the heart of Rosh Hashanah is. And if that works well, that is why some of the Mefarshim ask something that is seemingly would be very interesting. It would seem to be that Yom Kippur should be first and Rosh Hashanah should be the end of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, that first we fast and we pray that God should forgive us, and then to show God that we meant it and we took it seriously, the next 10 days we straighten out our ways and do tshuva, and Rosh Hashanah would be the culmination, the climax of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. But the point is, to reach the point of Yom Kippur, what we have to do is soften our hearts to get to the point to understand before we could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for our trespasses during the course of the year. We have to let the tefillos enter our hearts. She'al avicha v'yageidcha zekeinecha v'yomru lach. You ask the elders. Sometimes speaking to a grandparent is more effective than a parent occasionally, depending on the relationships, depending on if one has, if you're lucky enough to have grandparents and great grandparents who have the ability, who have the experience of living the years that they live. Age brings so much wisdom, and that's what the Torah is telling us. But speak softly. And that is who Moshe is talking to, not to the average person in Klal Yisrael, because they wouldn't understand it. And when the parasha ends, God is very pleased with Moshe because he realized that Moshe Rabbeinu himself has finally learned a lesson in how to deal with the people. And he says, now it's time for you to ascend the mountain, Umus Bahar Asher Atah Leshama. And Moshe's life is in the process of coming to a close, which is pleasing to him. But now God says, what you said now, the way you spoke to them, the message that you gave, I want this to be included in the Torah because this is the way I want the teachers to deal with Klal Yisrael. Hopefully, that lesson is passed on not to the people only, but to our leaders, to our Rebbeim, to our Zakenim. And therefore, so we don't have to deal with the people who say Hal Hashem tigmalu zos, that so many things are happening. We look around today and we see all the missiles that were being fired. Do we look at it as a tragedy, or do we look it at and look up in the sky if we're living in Eretz Israel and see the wonders of how God treats us all? That look at the firepower that we're enduring here, and yet nobody. They suffered from all these missiles in from Iran, no casualties except for one Palestinian. Imagine, one Palestinian was the only casualty. It's incredible. May we have that zechus. May it open our eyes. May we not need these type of things to open our eyes. May the Magza open our eyes, the slichos, the tfilos that we say, let them soften our heart. Kisirim aleidesha vechirvivim aleyesev. May we all have a successful Rosh Hashanah. May we open our hearts and understand Atzur Tamim Palo, all the things that God has done for us in this past year, all the bad and even all the good, certainly, but even the things that we perceive to be bad is not what we think. God has a different mindset than we do. And lo machshavo sehem machshavo sai. What you're thinking, only I know the future, what it holds. And everything that happens is for the best. Hasur tamim polo ichol derachav mishpat. This is a very appropriate parsha to follow on the heels of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. May we all have a gemara kesiva v'chasima tova. Will we speak next week before Yom Kippur? Have a good evening and a great Shabbos and a great Yontif.